My guest today is Jerry Nixon. Jerry, how are you doing?
Hi, David. Thanks for having me on.
You look really familiar. Do you work around here?
I do. I flip right over there, flipping burgers. I come always to my food truck. No. Yeah, I think we are on the same team right here at Microsoft, both developer evangelists. It's pretty awesome. I live in Colorado. That's the difference. We don't see each other.
Not enough. Let's fix that right now.
All right.
It was cool. We saw the big Chicago event here. Can you talk on what?
I talked on the Universal Windows platform, and so specifically around the XAML platform and all the stuff on the UI side. Yeah, this was a great event and a cool location, too.
It's
beautiful. In fact, it's such a cool day. It's really nice. Anyway, all that to be said, the Windows platform is pretty special, partly because developers use all the skills that they have around XAML, and they're writing for every platform, every device that the platform supports, which is gigantic. I mean, using the picture, it's just device after device after device, and no doubt more devices are going to be added.
Let's talk about performance. Windows 10.
Yeah.
Universal apps.
Yeah.
That's how they do it without the apps anymore. I mean, what's the terminology?
Windows apps.
Windows apps.
Yeah.
Okay, the word universal is gone.
The word universal is meant for Windows 8 apps.
Okay.
So now it's all Windows apps.
But so what was it? It's a universal Windows platform? Is that the
UWP, yeah.
Okay, I want to get
that. Yeah, well, it's very important.
July 29th.
Yeah. A little insider here. Yeah. I have heard that they're going to come up with a new term to replace Metro, so that we'll be able to say something apps.
Better than modern apps?
Yeah, I really have heard that.
What was wrong with Metro?
Oh, it was a lawsuit. Some company that had the name Metro had to force us to stop. I think it was Metro LT in Germany. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Now it's Windows apps.
Okay, so let's talk about performance, because performance is cool. It's much better in Windows 10 than it is
on... Yeah, the gauntlet was sort of dropped in Windows 10 when the operating system itself decided to use XAML, and as well as Office decided to use XAML. Those two guys really put the pressure on. So the operating system team, so you see a lot of new things in Windows, like the start menu and the notification center.
Okay,
and
talk fast, let's go.
Right. And performance. Anyway, so those things just drove performance. Windows apps perform. So as a result, XAML's that much faster.
So you're saying because the Office team demands speed in their applications to get so many users, that kind of dog food.
Yeah.
Drove the XAML team.
That sort of dog food forced them to do it. That's right. Once they accepted XAML as a possible UI platform, XAML had to rise to the challenge. And so the platform team did. It's pretty great. I don't know if I can, your equipment's expensive. That's the downside. Look at this guy.
Nice.
All right, keep rolling, man. This is awesome.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come around.
Let's talk a little bit more Office as well. So the operating system caused a lot of performance improvements because the start screen, for example, or the start menu has to really launch fast. The Office team required a lot of extra functionality, and a good example is like the date picker. The date picker had to be really rich if they're going to use it in Outlook. It had to be super duper. So yeah, so you get both this performance and this functionality difference. I think the perfect.
Okay, Jerry, we're back.
All right.
We had to run inside because it's pouring out.
Small rainstorm.
But we're inside the field with you. And we were talking about performance.
We're talking about all the improvements.
Yes, let me ask a question real quick. I have some Windows 8.1 apps running right now. I just installed those on Windows 10 and just work.
Yeah, 100%. Everything, even all the way back to Windows Phone 7, they'll still just work on device running Windows. So any phone running Windows 10, right? So phone apps still run on phone, desktop apps run on desktop. They don't cross over. Big question is whether or not Silverlight runs on the desktop. I get that question a lot. Nope, only on phone. So if it's phone, it's phone. Whatever it was originally written for.
I see. And how's the performance going? Just take it out. Just run some random app that
I know what you mean. You're definitely going to see some improvement, but it's going to be a pretty minimal improvement because, for the most part, you're not going to recompile the whole thing. Now, when you take it and you recompile the whole thing, you get some guaranteed improvements right away. Sometimes as much as 30% improvement just for the sake of targeting or retargeting Windows 10. But retargeting Windows 10 is tricky because it's not like going from Windows 8.0 to 8.1. Because 8.0 to 8.1 is just a right-click retarget. Going to 10, some of the APIs change, some of the XAML changes, some of even the margins and things like that change. So it's not quite as quick of a turnaround.
So some of it might not even compile.
It's possible it won't compile at all.
And if it does compile, there may be some visual signatures, which is read really well.
If it's of any significance at all, there are going to be UI glitches that you're going to be going to kind of finesse and tweak to the extent of the
Let's talk about more about performance. What are a couple of points?
Yeah, so I talked about how, because it's in the operating system, right? The operating system has a demand on performance that's really high. And so since the XAML team met that demand, right, developers just get that reward. And the Office team also has this like demand on features. So again, the team came in and met that demand, so we get a lot of reward for that as well. But then there's a lot of special things that are included now to make performance work. Things that are really specific to the way developers work. So not all developers are going to care, right? Some developers are writing pretty small applications and don't need to think about high-end performance. But as soon as you do, you've got a lot of good options. So one of them, even we talked about today here at the event, right, was XBind, the new compiling, it is compiled binding rather than a runtime binding. So today, data binding inside XAML was all done at the runtime. It's all done with reflection, and reflection is an expensive operation overall. In terms of processing time, that's exactly right. No matter how fast your computer is, you're still going to have some sort of cost to it. And so we're starting to think about my application now can be on all these different types of devices. That includes devices that don't have much horsepower. So this cost is a big deal fast. So this idea of performance that a lot of developers just kind of overlook, honestly, it's going to be kind of front and center now as soon as they start to think about other types of devices. If you run this on a Raspberry Pi, your memory usage is going to be important to you all of a sudden. Anyway, so compile time binding takes away all the reflection, uses almost the same syntax as XBind bind instead, and that thing is auto generating code for you at the time of compilation, so that everything is all written in advance. So it means you don't get to use things like duck typing and just objects that are your view model, but you still get a view model if you want it. Just means you just have to make sure it's strongly typed view model, which is unusual for developers who are accustomed to setting the data context, which is the data type object, which is just not going to be
the reflection data binding. Yeah, it slows us down, but if I only have a few items to data bind, that's not going to be noticeable.
Yeah, it kind of goes back.
But if I have
some
thousand items to that's where the person did it, right?
It's true. I mean, there's a lot of scenarios for Google Tags, and some of them are just easy knockout scenarios. You know, you're writing a calculator or whatever, that sort of thing.
Who cares?
You never think
about
it. But there's a lot of scenarios where there's a lot of data. You've got 10,000, 100,000 records, and all of a sudden you've got to start thinking about how you're going to present it and how you're going to make it perform. Now we're starting to unlock those scenarios that honestly were kind of locked in the
tables. Is it enough just to use this new binding, or are there other things you can use?
Well, it may be enough, but if you need more, there's a lot more. So another one is XPhase. And so XPhase is a feature in XAML that allows me to identify and kind of order all the items in redeem list so that through the rendering cycles, I can say do this one first, then this one, and then if you don't have time, I don't care about these later on things. So it allows me to have a gigantic list that a user might swipe through really fast. And instead of having this blank list that appears because the renderer just can't keep up with it, I can start rendering less, right? Only the things that are in phase one or phase zero, which is the first phase. And so it allows the developers to kind of finesse their XAML to say, show this first, if you've got time, show this, if you've got time, you can show that. The more data, the faster the usage, the harder the hardware has to work, the more it can fall back and still give a great experience to the user. So
that's
what it is. It's all done declaratively. Ironically, I don't know, coincidentally, anyway, this was actually in Windows 8 as well. Developers just didn't know how to use it. This kind of unlocks it with a simple syntax.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then you're talking about some lazy loading as well.
Yeah, that's right. So the other is the X defer. And so now I can defer the loading of any XAML tree. So you may build a UI that has several XAML trees in it. You know, everything starts at one point, but from there it goes pretty deep. And you can go down to, say, a branch that has a really complex UI that won't be shown until several steps in your application workflow. So you can say, don't show that, show it later. Maybe it wants to say it activates it, or you manually activate it.
Wait just a second.
All right. I'll see you sometime.
Welcome back to Technology and Friends.
What happened this time?
Oh, man. Here we are. Now we're in the theater.
Away our table.
We're getting closer and closer to the actual event itself.
So what were we talking about then?
We were talking about the... What were we talking about?
Lazy loading?
We were talking... Oh, that's right. We were talking about lazy loading and the ability to take...
Loading.
No, but it works just like lazy loading, where you basically say you defer a part of your XAML tree or many parts of your XAML tree so that you use a visual state or you do it manually in code behind to render it all of a sudden. I think they actually call it realizing it. And that's the time when all the binding is done, the events are done, and everything. It saves a huge startup cost. So again, this is for special types of apps that are seeing a startup cost that they just can't handle, right? Their app's not good enough, their app's not fast enough, or, you know, now they've got options. You didn't have these sorts of apps, options before. As far as speed, there's one more thing. I'm going to think what that is. It was, just by building on Windows 10, you get 30% faster on a lot of different pieces. Then you also get, it's X-Bind, you get X-Defer, you get X-Phase, a lot of X. .NET Native. Now also, I'm a C# developer myself, you probably are as well. C# developers always kind of wrote to the runtime and had the runtime in between them and the metal.
The runtime's gone.
And the runtime's gone. Now I can use .NET Native, compile using the same C++ optimizer that C++ developers use already, and compile straight down to the metal. That's a big deal, because as that optimizer gets revved, then I can keep revving my application. All this is done, by the way, in the store. It's all done in the cloud. So I still submit IL up to the cloud, and then the cloud is responsible for doing all the hard work around .NET Native, although I could do it in Visual Studio if I want to. You know how you can switch between debug and release? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. A lot of developers didn't even know there were two options. They just leave it in debug the whole time. But when you go to release, it's all .NET Native. And so if you were like, hey, I want to see what this actually looks like when it's against the metal, that'll do it for you. And then, but usually you want to stay in debug, because if you're in debug, then you still have edit and continue and all these other features that actually get stripped away when you start doing it in .NET Native.
Oh, very cool.
It is really cool.
And so I misspoke. I said that the runtime is gone. The runtime's still there.
So runtime's there for desktop developers. That's not changing, and that's still getting revved and improved on.
You're writing Windows 10 apps, though.
.NET Native is purely for Windows 10 apps, and it's for every Windows 10 app. Yeah, so a lot of people wonder when's .NET Native going to come over to .NET applications like WPF, and they're not seeing the issue, right? So the issue is there's a runtime there. You can't write straight to the metal. So odds are you'll never really see that unless some sort of magical thing sort of happens. But I've seen things happen, man.
So let's wrap this up before we get kicked out of this particular event. I know you're doing a lot of stuff for Microsoft Virtual Academy.
I am. Microsoft Virtual Academy, you know what? It's funny how many people don't know Microsoft Virtual Academy is there. And here it is. It is the plural site of Microsoft. That's the way I think of it. I do too. Yeah, exactly. I've been an author on Pluralsight for a long time. I just haven't submitted a course. They keep inviting me to the author summit. I couldn't bring myself to do that. But it's funny. They're all great people, right? It's just a matter of time. And so MVA at Microsoft Virtual Academy, we have all kinds of courses, a lot of them by product teams, a lot of them by PMs right off the product team that know it really well, sometimes by evangelists like you and me that are doing different things that they're really like knowledgeable of and really have a passion for as well. So I've done a lot around Windows 10. So we did the Developer's Guide for Windows 10 Developer Preview. How about that for a name? And we also did a Developer's Guide for Windows 10 Insider Preview, which is the one that we released and built. So the reason we do it as preview is because these things are changing, and this isn't the RTM course, but it's still 3 days of Windows 10 training, so it's a bunch.
We can expect a new version when the actual release comes out in July.
Yeah, you can just throw your hand like that, like it's so easy. It's hard work, man. What's your MBA course? We should do one together. Windows 11. You heard it here first. Folks.
Windows 11, the day it's released. Jerry, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave. So this was Technology and Friends. We're right here at the Build Tour. Chicago. I was here with David. Some people love technology and just love rubbing it in their hair. Some people love friends. Some people love them both. I love them both. David loves them both. He's a good friend. Windows 10, not 11, 10 is great technology. We'll see you again.